Like with a suit, architects have been trying to reinvent classic forms for centuries. But the way to make your name in the field is with an iconic building, something absolutely singular and, these days, unconventional. Frank Gehry is America's best-known architect because he's devoted himself to experimenting with forms. Nobody else's buildings look anything like his. And John Silber thinks maybe that's not such a good thing.
If anybody thinks that Gehry is not engaged in a con job, they haven't looked at that building.
Silber dealt with a lot of building projects during his decades as president of Boston University, and his new book is called Architecture of the Absurd: How Genius Disfigured a Practical Art.
And it's amazing how crass and how cheap it looks.
Silber had been railing for some time against what he sees as excesses in architectural cost and design. But it wasn't until he walked into Frank Gehry's Status Center at MIT that he really blew his top.
It was just horrible. I just think, who in the hell could spend money to build something like this and to allow a $150 million override? It just reminded me instantly. As soon as I saw this thing, I said, you know, old Dolly Parton had it right. It takes lots of money to look this cheap. It's appalling. I could look at it before I'd ever seen it in the wintertime. I said, you know, this building is going to leak like a sieve. The ice and snow are going to catch on all these projections. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be dangerous.
Instead of being one harmonious form, it consists of many pieces of different colors at different angles.
That's right. And it has windows that project and catch the snow and ice in the wintertime, and then they thaw out and fall and endanger people on the street below. You go inside the building, and it can't be used. Mm-hmm. He designed a building on the upper floors, which the faculty referred to as the vomitorium. It was designed deliberately to make it visually discomforting. So if you follow your eyes as you go into this building, you begin to be nauseated. And he decided his contempt for the people who work in that building is enormous. He said, well, they're like orangutans. This is, again, a quote of his. You know, they like to climb into the top branches to work, and then they come down to feed.
He was joking.
He referred to the limitations that are imposed on architects. And to put it succinctly, he said, screw that.
But isn't our great architecture for centuries has always been a result, or often been a result, of that tension and that struggle between art and function, between whimsy and practicality, between being unfamiliar and being simply useful. Doesn't great architecture come out of that very kind of struggle?
It does when the right balance is struck. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's important. I think Vitruvius' three principles, his three essentials, are still sound. Firmness, which means sound engineering, and commodity, which has to do with the way in which space is organized for the purposes of the people who work there, and delight, which has to do with beauty and attractiveness and so forth. Those are primary concerns of architects. And
well, but to defend Gehry for a moment, you don't talk about what is considered his masterwork, the Bilbao Guggenheim Museum in Spain, and certainly that is a critical success, popular success, seems to work okay as a place to house art.
Well, it doesn't work well as a museum. I don't think there's anybody that's going to try to claim that. That inside building is very simple, it's very plain, and what he's done is put up all those curvilinear structures on the outside to disguise what is in fact a pretty straightforward, simple building. He wrinkles up paper, throws it down on a table, and if he likes the way it looks, he tells his engineers to get on a computer and put that out. That's sort of accidental design. I don't think that's what great architects do.
Well, I wonder what to you makes Gaudi's buildings in Spain, which are weird and undulating, in Barcelona. You love them and you describe them as beautiful.
I do.
And what makes and yet you find Frank Gehry's forms absurd? That sounds like it's just a matter of personal taste, practically.
No, I don't think it is at all. First of all, they're beautiful. There's nothing beautiful about the Status Center. It's a grotesque hodgepodge of various surfaces juxtaposed at different angles from one another.
But surely you don't... there are those who would find Gaudi ugly and hideous and absurd, and just as there are those who find Gehry buildings beautiful as well.
I just don't think that's the case. How many people do you know that have found Gaudi's work absurd? It functions. It carries out the function for which it's designed. And on the Sagrada Familia, he would have been outraged for somebody to say that that cathedral was absurd. This would have been heresy as
Although,
far as he was concerned.
To the point of functionality and coming in on budget, it's not done yet, that cathedral.
Well, that's true of almost every cathedral that's ever been built.
Yeah. You write in the book admiringly of the Sydney Opera House, which I guess was sort
that's
of the
a pretty that's a very strange building when you just look at
well,
it.
Well, exactly, and it was sort of the Bilbao of its day, and at the time.
Well, the difference is though it really works well as a concert hall.
Well, not everyone agrees. We actually dug up a clip of a composer named Larry Sitsky, who a British composer who was complaining even as it opened about the interior, not the exterior. And I just want to play that for you, if I can.
Composer Larry Sitsky voices an opinion held by many on the opera theatre.
I think it's got many liabilities. The size of the pit is an enormously worrying factor. I can't see really grand opera being possible. The size of the wings is very bad and is going to be a problem not only in opera with large choruses, but also in ballet. The size of the stage itself is not sufficient.
That's a composer talking in 1973 about the Sydney Opera House and the architect himself. And I love that building. I agree with you about it. But at the time, he was quoted as saying, I don't care what it costs. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what scandal it causes. That's what I want. It seems to me that architects are architects, and some of them make good buildings and some of them make bad buildings. But they are arrogant artists.
Well, very few of them make consistently bad buildings the way Gehry does and the way Libeskind does.
And your father, you write about your father who was an architect. How did his practice as an architect influence your taste and sensibility?
He grew up in that Beaux-Arts style, and after his practice collapsed in 1930 due to the Depression. And he started again in 1941. Well, he began then to design with simplicity, lack of ornamentation, and a concern for just the design that made things work better. For example, in schoolroom architecture, he started building schoolrooms that were not square but were parallelograms, so that a greater level of light would focus on the blackboard. I never thought of my father as a great architect. That was one difference between my brother and me. My brother thought our dad was a great architect until he was a grown man, and then he realized that he wasn't. Well, even from the time that I was young, maybe 10 or 12 years of age, I thought my father was a highly responsible and very worthy architect, but I never thought of him as a great architect. He had never compared himself to one of them.
Do you think the fact that he didn't consider himself a great architect, you from the age of 10 didn't consider him a great architect, but he was responsible, does that drive your rage at these guys you consider people posing as great architects but are irresponsible today?
Rage, I think, is an inappropriate word. I think that I've laughed at these people about as much as I've been angry.
Uh-huh.
There's no question about the talent of a person like Gehry or a person like Libeskind. But when Libeskind comes out with a tower for the New York 9/11 Devastation Center, and he makes it 1,776 feet tall, you know, just my reaction to cornball goes off.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Cut it out.
John Silber, I want to thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank you. I think it's been delightful to talk to you.
John Silber is the author of Architecture of the Absurd, How Genius Disfigured a Practical Art. Is there a building that you find absurd? Tell us about it at studio360.org.